This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله أرسله الله تعالى بالهدى ودين الحق. ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا فصلى الله عليه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وما هذه الحياة الدنيا إلا لهو ولعب وإن الدار الآخرة لهي الحيوان لو كانوا يعلمون اللهم اجعلنا من العالمين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم ثبتنا عند الموت بلا إله إلا الله اللهم اجعلنا من الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر أمين يا رب العالمين. Today's khutbah is about an ayah that belongs to Surah Al-Ankabut. It's similar ayat occur in other places in the Qur'an. Sometimes in the Qur'an, Allah will give us a comparison between this life that we have, these few years that we have to spend on this earth above the ground, and something that we can observe. Like to understand life itself, He'll give us a comparison. Sometimes he'll compare it to rain and the growth of a plant. Other times he'll compare it to other things to give us some perspective. This is one of those ayat. But what's interesting about this ayah is Allah did not compare life to something. He almost made it equal to something. This is, in the Arabic language, this is called at-tashbih al-baligh. And what that is in simple language is, you know, you see an athlete and you say, this guy is like a lion. You know, he's like a lion on the playground, but you use the word like, right? So when someone's listening to you, they can tell you're making a comparison. But if you want to go really far in your comparison, you just say, this guy is a lion. You don't even mention the playground because that would make someone think you're talking about an analogy. You equated this person to a lion, right? So that's a very strong form of connection between the lion and the athlete, even though literally he's not a lion, right? So this is the kind of thing that happens in the Quran when two things are very closely related to each other, or the more you contemplate it, the more you will learn about the first thing. The second thing will make you really understand the first thing. So what Allah says about my life and your life that we're living now, first of all, He says, مَا هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. The هَذِهِ is kind of إضافي, it feels from a بلاغي sense. You could just say worldly life, but He says this worldly life. He adds the word this in the ayah. And the idea of that is at-taqrib, what scholars of language call it at-taqrib, meaning I want you to notice everything about this life of yours that you're experiencing, this day, this year, this decade, you know, this experience, these people that are in your life, this work that you do, this business that you do, these friends that you have, this family that you have, every part of this life is kind of being focused, a lens is being brought onto it, and it's being zoomed in on just with the word hadhihi. So وَمَا هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا, he says, none, this entire life, this worldly life, amounts to nothing more. It's all it is لَهْوٌ وَلَعِبٌ. It's just two things. And a rough translation of لَهْوٌ وَلَعِبٌ would be entertainment. لَهُ can be translated as entertainment. You can also think of it as distraction. So two words you can think about with the word لَهُ. Allah is saying this life is nothing but entertainment or distraction. That's the first thing. And then he says, وَلَعِبْ, and a game, or a sport, or a match. Nowadays we call it a match, right? That's all it is. So in this ayah, Allah has made me think about entertainment, and He's made me think about distraction, and He's saying, really deep connection between entertainment and distraction, and what's going on in this life. Well, what is entertainment at the end of the day? Somebody had a busy day at work, they're mentally exhausted, they're tired, they get home, they're like, I just need to sit back and just watch some, I don't know, some highlights, some sports highlights on YouTube, or play some video games, or watch a TV show or something. Just need to let loose a little bit, entertain themselves. Or tell kids want to be entertained, tell me a story, right? kids want to be told a story, or they want you to sing a song for them or something like that. And of course, when people get older, they just have the more adult version of the same thing. It's either the music industry or the movie industry or the, you know, the Netflixes and the Amazons and all of that stuff, right? It's at the end of the day, it's still the same thing that you wanted as a child. You just want the advanced version of it as an adult. But when we're doing that and somebody says, what are you doing? And you say, right, let me just relax, okay? I had a long day. Can I just breathe a little? This is me taking a mental break, right? This is me taking a mental break. You're not, somebody else is doing the work. And by the way, the difference between lahu and la'ib is in la'ib, you're doing the work. You're kicking the ball, you're taking the shot, you know? But in lahu, you're just sitting back and somebody else is doing the entertaining for you. You're just watching and enjoying or listening and things like that. But as you're doing that, what happens sometimes is people get so lost in that they miss an appointment. Or they get so lost in that, they forget to do the groceries. And the store's already closed now. Meaning the idea, the Arabs associated entertainment with distraction because it's always taking you away from something that's more important. Something needed your attention, something needed my attention, and I lost track of time, and before I know it, you know, the time for it is over, right? So the same thing happens, for example, some of you students here, you have an exam coming up or something, now there's a break, but before the break, you have an exam coming up, and you're studying for it, you're like, I need a break. I know the exam is in 4 hours, let me just turn on the PlayStation for a little bit, and just let my, you know, relax my mind. And before you know it, you're beating the final boss in the game and you beat the entire game and you're 20 minutes late for class and you have, you know, you forget the review, you almost missed the entire exam. I travel a lot. I've actually seen people miss their flights because they had their headphones on and they were just watching something. And then they look up and there's a different city that's boarding. They're like, wasn't this going to Dallas? No, that flight already left. This is going to Miami now. You know, so the idea of lahu is distraction, something that gets my attention, and more important things that had a limited time schedule, they passed me by, the opportunity passed me by. Well, Allah is saying that life is full of this. In other words, in a 24-hour day between waking up and going to sleep, the conscious hours that I have and you have, there are priorities, there are things we have to get done. Every one of us has a to-do list that we need to get done. And what happens is we get distracted and that to-do list barely gets touched. We get one or two things done, then the mind gets distracted, we do something else, and the things that you really had to do didn't get done. And that's just one day. But then sometimes you're like, this year I'm gonna learn some Arabic. This year I'm gonna memorize all four surahs. Or this year I'm gonna do this. And you have these people are, you know, in the modern world now, people have all these New Year's resolutions, right? We Muslims have Ramadan resolutions or whatever. So we have these resolutions and they're like, I'm just going to do this. And then next Ramadan comes, it's getting closer and you're like, so sad, man. I've been making this commitment for 10 Ramadans now. And I just haven't gotten around to, you know, this surah or this ayah or this commitment that I made, or reading this book, or learning more about the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ, or something. You made this commitment, you keep putting it off. Something else distracts, something else calls your attention. What the problem with that is our inability to balance, our inability to say, okay, this much time allotted for breathing room, but not enough, not so much that it takes away from important tasks. Some things need to get done. They cannot be compromised. They have to be addressed. Right? So Allah says, most people, for most of our lives, we look back and we say, I wasted a lot of years, or I wasted a lot of time, or I could have done so much more with my years. I could have done so much more with that time. And then life later on, you get, you know, physically you're less capable, financially you're more strained, you're more responsible, there are people depending on you. You don't have the kind of free time you used to have. And now you look back and you're like, I wasted my college years. I wasted my early, you know, pre-married life and all of that stuff. I wasted all that time. And now when you have your children and they're hanging out like you used to hang out, they're like, don't do what I did. Don't waste your time. Actually, you were a bigger waste of time in your years, but that guilt has piled up on you and you're slapping it onto your next generation, right? So this is what lahu does. But more interestingly, Allah didn't just compare this life to lahu. He also compared it to la'ib. To sport, to games, to a match. That's a really interesting comparison, because a match is about competition. You're trying to defeat an opponent. You're literally inside of that, if it's a basketball court or it's a football field, right, or it's a soccer field or something, you're at war with your opponent. For those 90 minutes or for those four quarters, for that, you know, in that time, the only focus you have is, I have to defeat this enemy. That's all we have to do. We have to crush this enemy, right? So our life is actually filled with a number of matches. You have a challenge in front of you and you're going at it. You're focused on it. And while that match is happening, nothing else matters. This is all that matters. But the thing with that is, you know, both teams, especially when things get very serious, both teams have athletes that have prepared their entire life to be able to play that match, to get to the professional level, to reach the finals or whatever, right? But only one team is going to win. They can't both win. So all of that work is going to look like it was completely gone to waste after all of that effort, because nobody's going to clap for you for great effort. Thanks so much. They'll just put the camera on you because they want to see you cry. And then they'll turn the camera to the winner, right? And everybody's cheering the winner. And this is what this life is. It doesn't matter how hard you try to study for an exam. If you failed, nobody's going to say, great effort, you know? They're going to say, you failed. All that matters is you failed. All those thousands of hours of study and preparation and all of that, none of that matters now. Because the only thing that matters now is that you didn't pass. That's all that matters. And this life is about a series of tests. We either pass or fail. Pass or fail. Constantly. On and off the field. Whether it's at school, whether it's at work, whether it's in our relationships, whether it's literally on a playground. It's all of these events over and over again. And by comparison, what Allah has given us is something so beautiful. In the same vein, Allah says, وَأَلَّيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى in Surah An-Najm. He says human beings will have nothing except their efforts. He didn't say human beings will have nothing except their accomplishments. He said their efforts. So unlike this life, where the only thing that matters is winning the game, that's the only thing that matters, with Allah, the only thing that matters is the effort. That's what's celebrated, because what does the Quran teach us? Winning and losing actually comes not from people, it comes from Allah. And the only thing that actually comes from people is effort. So the only thing you get credit for is effort. You don't get credit for the victory. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. It's attributed to Allah. When the victory from the aid from Allah, of Allah. And the victory came. Right? So the same way, تِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بِالنَّاسِ. When Muslims suffered a defeat in Uhud, Allah said, these are days we flip between people. We flip between people. It's not Muslims lost and the Kuffar won. Allah allowed them to have victory, just like Allah allowed the Muslims to have victory in Badr. It's the victory and loss is coming from Allah. The effort is the only thing that is going to be commented on. And 60 or so ayat are there in Surah Ali Imran, commenting on the loss of Uhud. And all Allah is talking about is what effort could have been made better. Where were the gaps in the effort? And what do we learn from that? And how is it going to modify our efforts? Another important thing about sports and this analogy of the game is that games are just another kind of entertainment. But you get so serious inside of a game. You know, you just got a controller in your hand and you're smashing some buttons and there's a virtual thing that's responding to it. You're not dying. The boss is slicing away at you with his giant sword, but you're not the one who's dying. But you could see pain on your face, like, oh my God. And there's you're projecting yourself onto the character, and their loss becomes your loss, and you're slamming things in. Oh my God, Mom, why did you call me? You distracted me. And you know, some kids play online games, and it's like they're actually in warfare when they're playing modern warfare. You know, it's really passionate and similar to sports fans that are watching a game, especially you know with the football World Cup. People are watching a game. And they're so riled up. And if their team wins, there's going to be a riot. And if they lose, it's also going to be a riot. You know? And there are cities that are sports cities. You know what they do? when they know there's a Friday night game, the restaurants and the homes and everybody goes home early and boards up their windows because they know windows are going to get broken and cars are going to get damaged because there's a big game on Friday night. So what happens? It was just a game, but it got taken way too seriously. You took it way, you made it a matter of life and death. You took it too far. What do we do in this life? Sometimes things are just small. They're not that big of a deal. But we zoom in on them and we make them so important. We make them into life and death. And we do so much damage because we made something small into something big. We lose our sense of proportion. Allah says, this life is just like sports. It's just like games. So there's a sense of proportion. And something remarkable that we learn from this analogy of Allah comparing life to sports is that in a match, like I said, one team can win, one team can lose, right? Or it's even a singles, like a tennis match or something. One athlete is going to win, one athlete is going to lose. Fine. This athlete has a championship cup in their hands. They get the applause. They won the match. They're the winner. But it could be true that in their personal life, they're losing in their marriage. They're losing with their kids. They're losing with their parents. They're losing to depression. They're losing all these other matches. But the only match they won is the one on the field. And it could be the guy that lost really badly is winning in every other match. Some of the one coach I was talking to, because I was trying to understand this ayah and contemplate it better, so I spoke to some coaches, some sports coaches. And one of them told me that in my career, coaching for 30, 40 years now, some of the biggest losers I ever met are winners. And some of the biggest winners I ever met are losers. It's remarkable. In other words, Allah is telling us something incredible about life. It looks like someone's winning. It looks like they have money, they got fame, they have looks, they have popularity, they have everything you would have charm, they have everything you want. If I had that, life would be good. But actually, that's just one box. And outside of that box, they may be the biggest loser. Some of you might not know that Abu Lahab, for example, which everybody knows, Abu Lahab is like one of the ultimate villains in the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ, was a really good-looking, charming man. They were the celebrity couple. You know, he was actually, you know, colored hair, tall, you know, brilliant skin tone. People used to compare, you know, to talk about his physical beauty and things like that. And Hind was considered a beautiful woman. These were the winners of that society by any standard. If you don't look at the Quran and you look at ancient Egypt, people still go there to take pictures at the marvel of what that civilization created. The pharaohs were winners in the world. They left their mark on the world. And we know from Quran's point of view, they're some of the biggest losers in history, if not the biggest losers in history, right? So the idea is that concept is still alive today. Just because someone is winning in one arena doesn't make them a winner. And someone, just because you're losing in one arena, doesn't make you a loser. That stamp doesn't stay on you. And you know, if you look at real athletes, after they lose a game, they don't call themselves a loser. They're like, I'm going to train harder next year and I'm going to come back again. And I'm going to come back again. Meaning a loss to them is just learning. That's all it is. I learned what we did wrong. They analyze. Because if athletes, the ones that do play sports, if they started listening to the commentaries of their fans, they listen to everybody's criticism and commentary. And if they took that defeat to heart, they would not be athletes anymore. You can't. It's not just about physical toughness. You have to have a mental toughness to be able to be good at something. In this life, Allah created this requirement of sabr. If you're going to do anything in life, you have to be ready for mostly defeat. Mostly we're going to lose. And there are going to be pockets of victory. You can't win every time. In fact, you can't win most of the time. Most of the battles in our life are challenges. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدٍ. An overwhelming burden that Allah created the human being. Finally, going back to Lahu, something interesting that some of our scholars have said, contemplating on this ayah, is very beautiful. One of the ancient ways that people used to entertain each other is they used to perform plays. So in the ancient Chinese civilization, Arab civilization, others, they used to have like even puppet shows, or somebody would dress up like the king and the other one would dress up like the Joker, or two warriors, they pretend to be warriors and they've got like these wooden swords and they're pretending to die, and somebody throws leaves up to make it look like it's blood and stuff, and people are like, they get really into it. This was old, this were ancient special effects, by the way. This was ancient CGI. But now it's a modern version of the same thing, isn't it? It's what we're doing is we're watching a story. But at the end of that play, the king wasn't a king. And the beggar wasn't a beggar. And the victim wasn't a victim. And the killer wasn't a killer. A lot of actors that play villains and serial killers and things like that, they have a hard time because people start cursing them out when they go to grocery stores. Like, murderer! No, that was just a show. That's not the real me. I'm actually a nice guy. But people get so, they look at this role this person is playing, and they assume this is who they really are, you understand? In this life, Allah has given people different roles. Some people are presidents of countries. Some people are generals of a military. Some people are billionaires. Some people are athletes. Some people are popular. Some people are nobody. Nobody knows them. They're not famous. They're nothing. But you know what? This life is like a play on a stage. And one day the curtains are going to pull and the costumes will come off. وَتَرَكْتُمْ مَا خَوَّلْنَاكُمْ, Allah says. You've left behind all the wrappings I put on you. And then the king might be a beggar on Judgment Day, and the beggar might be a king on Judgment Day, because this was just a facade. This was just a distraction from the reality of things. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَهْوٌ وَلَعِبٌ وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. And the final life, that is actually the ultimate life, had they any knowledge. If only they had known. We have to become people that, you know, contemplate Allah's book and look at our life in that way. So that when you see someone succeeding, instead of becoming like, why can't I have that? Why can't I do it? It may be that they look like they're succeeding. And maybe you not having that is a gift from Allah to you. That may be the case. That Allah wants you to not fail in the way that they might be failing. So don't fall into that facade. Don't look at something on the outside and assume this is what success looks like. This is the powerful message that this ayah has given us. And boy, are we in need of this message today. Because we are now in the age of filtered, you know, fake presentation of self. And everybody, the new currency is no longer money. The new currency is social media following and interaction. And in order to stay relevant, you have to keep putting things up that make you interesting or make people want to hear what you have to say or make, you know, just entertain the world. And so you're becoming the puppet, you know, and the public has become your puppeteer. These people you've never met, they're your puppeteer. Oh my God, I got to post a new video. The engagement is going down. Oh, I got to do this. Otherwise, I'm not going to get the following. Now the algorithm has become a new God, you know. Because we got to follow the algorithm if we're going to have growth, subhanAllah. And in this new, you know, virtual landscape that we find ourselves in, we have to step back and really contemplate what Allah is saying to gain some perspective and to not be distracted by something that is taking us away from something much more important. May Allah Azza wa Jalla make us all people that contemplate Allah's book and understand it in a way that betters our lives and bring light to ourselves, our own hearts, and to those around us. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikri al-Hakim. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhina astafa khususan ala afdalihim wa khatam al-nabiyyin Muhammadin al-Amin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Qala Allahu azza wa jalla fi kitabihi al-Karim ba'da an aqula a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Inna Allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna 'alan-nabi. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد عباد الله رحمكم الله اتقوا الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولا ذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقم الصلاة إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya 'ala s-salati, hayya 'ala al-falah. Qad qamat s-salatu, qad qamat s-salah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah.
استقيم يرحمكم الله. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.